Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Smoked. Wow. Oh, man.
So what was it Goose needed to ask?
So I'm thinking he's going to ask me a baseball question, right? I have two questions, he said, to ask you. I'm thinking, you know, how was it to be in the big leagues? Whatever. He says, how do you stay so tan? His kid's asking me. I said, I'm a professional tanner, bronzer, I told him. Isn't that something? Wow.
How do I stay so tan? Two things. Take off both T-tops in the Trans Am. Take her for a ride. Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Dutcher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. And we got Patriots tickets for Sunday's game to give away. We'll be doing that at 7:30 and 9:30. And they're taking on the Texans with a healthy J.J. Watt, who I'm not sure they played a healthy J.J. Watt before.
He's played, what, how many games in the last 2 years?
Eight last year and three the year before.
And it's weird, too, because you don't even know what Deshaun Watson's going to be. So this is just an all-around interesting, strange game when it comes to just Houston and, oh, yeah, and heavy metal. But, it's going to be odd. It's going to be a very odd game, but either way, you're going to see what Tom Brady can do with basically no one other than Rob Gronkowski to throw to.
Yeah, with arguably the league's best defensive front. So you a team that can put a ton of pressure on the quarterback. So look for James White. If you have him on your fantasy team, I would imagine that there's a lot going on there.
I got him, and for the first 4 weeks, I think he's going to be a stud. It's funny, too. I'm looking forward to seeing if maybe 2 hours before the game I'll get to see J.J. Watt on television flipping a tire or something from one end of Gillette Stadium to the next in front of the cameras.
See, he gets a grace period because of all the stuff with the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested to see personally how long that will last.
You can still listen. You can't take away what he did with the hurricane. You can still tool on him for being a cheese.
Oh, I'm going to. Oh, I can do whatever I want. I'm talking about personally. I don't give a crap
personally,
what anyone thinks about it.
He's a great human being.
No.
What he did is
not
great.
Not
he's
him,
a cheese bag.
Not him personally. Me personally.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it will be interesting to how long until I stop giving him a break. Now, it could be tomorrow. Or on Sunday, rather.
Sure, of course.
No, you're going to see that first camera shot of him getting fired up and yelling at people, and you're going to get pissed.
And you're really going to go, oh, boy, here we go.
You'll see it like we go on the field. We're the first on the field at 5 minutes of one, and you see J.J. Watt with the lamp black all over his face screaming at people, and you're going to get pissed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to happen. Your grace period will end until 5 minutes until kickoff.
Well, him screaming at people on the field is the least of it.
Or mugging for the camera. No. You know what I'm talking
Rich
about.
Rich is right. It's him, you know, rise and grinding it. It's him, you know, tossing over tires. If you want to, I mean, plenty of people yell on the field. I don't care.
No, dude's going to be like hitting the jugs machine at 6 a.m. But he's going to make sure he's actually going to sit in one of the booths and wait for the first cameraman to come out.
Yeah, like, oh, ESPN. No, ESPN will be on the field at 9 a.m. in the morning, and there's J.J. Watt running sprints. You'll get angry then.
If he actually uses the jugs machine, what a phenomenal
waste
of time. I think
he does. Do you remember that on Hard Knocks? Because I remember we were talking about that. It's like, wow, dude's like hitting the jugs machine.
Why would you do that?
Just to get up and just to make sure, just in case you're right there, you're able to catch
Mike Vrabel wants to catch a touchdown pass, man.
Your time is so much better spent doing something
he
else.
Caught a touchdown that one game, remember? Or maybe two games. Didn't they use him several games a couple years ago?
Fine, but just that time, you're just wasting that time.
It's not wasted time. It's rising and grinding, Fred, and that's what J.J. Watt's all about. He's tougher than you. He's tougher than me. He goes, listen, that dude will work out even when everyone's supposed to stay home and the government orders you to because it's unsafe.
Yeah.
Yep, two receiving touchdowns in 2014.
I remember that.
There you
That's
go.
Right.
And one of the touchdown passes was from Ryan Mallett, so there you go.
Well, listen.
Well, they were kind of picking at scraps there before Deshaun Watson. But yeah, the Hoyer years, which, yeah. Once again, we've said it before, that's one of the worst all-time performances by a quarterback in the playoffs that I have ever seen, was when Brian Hoyer, I think it was his last game as a Texan. That was atrocious. Was it four interceptions, or was it even worse than that? It was like, just look at the yards, and it was an awful, awful, awful game.
Yeah. So we got tickets again at 7:30 and 9:30. I went on that Disney cruise in February. Do you ever go to the doctor and you can't, like, and they ask you questions, you're like, I don't know. Like they asked me, because I have on my forehead, it's like pink, like on part of it, and then it's like, and then I'm tan in other places, but it's like I burned my forehead.
It looks like your skin is peeling.
But right.
It's been that way, you're saying, for a while?
Yes, for okay. a while. And so I went to the doctor. Finally, the dermatologist could see me. But these guys, dermatologist, hardest person to get into in the world. I mean, for some reason, there's months and months of wait, which is funny because I've never been in a dermatologist for more than 10 minutes. They seem to churn and burn you out in those places. So the guy's like, did you burn? And I'm like, and I go, I don't know. And then he said, did it peel? And I said, I don't know. And then he goes, oh, well, it's probably this autoimmune problem that takes the pigment out of your skin.
Oh.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? So then I call my wife. And then so he's like, put this cream on. And then you go, I got to go out in the sun for 15 minutes at a time. And I got to take bloods to see if it's a thyroid problem and all this stuff. Now, the autoimmune thing is just with your skin, but then it's called Venus something, and then you get on. So, of course, the place where they draw your blood is right across the street, right across the hall from the dermatologist. So that gives me plenty of time to Google the old thing.
Google is your worst enemy, man.
Well, just the Google.
Nutjob.org is always the first thing that pops up, and you click on it, and it's all these maniacs who saying, oh, yeah, I had. It'll be like, you know, I was sneezing, so I went to the doctor, and it's obviously cancer.
Right. But this was just like the question and answer part, like how they have the questions. So nothing that they wrote was bad, but then I made the mistake of Google imaging it. First of all, if you're like white and light skinned, I don't think I have this thing. But if you're white, because I guess I called my wife and she said you did burn and peel, so maybe that's it. But if you're white and like lighter skinned, like you can't really tell.
Is this like the Sammy Sosa thing?
Maybe,
because you know, because Sammy Sosa, as you saw, I mean, he went from, you know, his skin went from dark skin to like he looks like a Caucasian now. If you look at the pictures of him, and I think a lot of it had to do with he was having that skin problem, and didn't he, much like Michael Jackson, kind of like bleach it out almost to make everything the same color?
Yeah, I know that happened, and if that that makes sense, if that was the thing.
Because, I mean, listen, as much crap as you'd be like,
no.
So it's like, I mean,
if you had two
different skin tones,
right.
You would try to want to do something to even it out too.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially if you had as much money as he has.
Because when you look online at this thing, it's like if you're like a black guy or you're like dark skinned, it's gnarly.
Yeah, I feel bad for right because it's like half of your face is pink and half of your face is black.
Right. So that's what I got out of the doctor.
So he's saying that it's not going to go back to what it was. It's always going to look like perpetually peeled.
No.
Okay.
The idea is that if I wasn't tan, you wouldn't be able to tell. But then I looked online with my wife, and when it peels, it's supposed to be, it looks like opaque. It looks like white.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen. I don't know. You go these places, and they ask you questions, and who knows? Like, who writes it down? I mean, it's September. Yesterday's September 5th. How the hell do I remember when it burned? You know? Like, what do I know? Asking me all these questions, and the next thing you know, it's some. And then he goes autoimmune, and you're like, "Oh, fantastic AIDS!" Like, I mean, just that's the thing is that it just you're immediately like, "Oh, okay, so I have AIDS."
So he told you that without even taking a blood test. It's probably an autoimmune thing.
Well, I don't think there's a blood test for it. The blood test is that 20% of the cases have to do with a thyroid thing.
Oh.
So they took the blood, and now, and what's funny is he goes, well, if something's wrong with you, we'll call you. And if nothing's wrong with you, we'll just send you a letter.
So you just sit there in agony.
But now every time the phone rings with some random number, I'm going to have to answer it.
Yep.
Well, I'd rather have them go ahead and call me and sit there in agony for the call than be like, if nothing's wrong, you're going to wait three times as long for a letter to show up. Just tell me one way or the other.
Well, the one time I got an AIDS test, I was like 23, and I said, I only will take this test if you call me with the results, because they were like, we want you to come in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hell no. I'm not driving there and worrying the whole time. I'm like, you call. And then you let me know the results. So, but this is now every time the phone, and I guess the thyroid thing would be, I mean, it's not life or death, but now I have to wait around and have to answer the phone every time that it calls. So
just send me a text, smiley face emoji if I'm cool, and maybe like the one with a hand over the head if it's not. Or the 100, the Tom Brady 100 emoji that he left under Randy Moss's Dan Instagram
Roach.
Post.
Dan Roach with the... you know, his body and the thumb in the air.
Sorry, you need your own emoji to really drive the point home.
Right. So that's going to the dermatologist. They ask you questions that, who knows? I'm sure if you ask a female, they know immediately, like, the answer to everything. It's not like I was paying attention to my face when it got burnt. All right, a big show on the way today. Dave Richard, going to be on with all your fantasy situations. Bert Breer. And, of course, we'll talk Tom versus Time and how Tom versus Time is now not something that never needs to be watched again. It is completely over.
What's the end of it?
Well, no, but he could do it again next season.
Yeah, no, there's no reason. I mean, are there any questions left unanswered?
There's nothing to watch. Nope. He made it. He did the Rachel Maddow with the Trump taxes.
The packaging of it, I guess, is not his fault. But in the end, he never said anything new once you got to
He's always said, I want to do 5 more years.
Yeah, I understand
and that's what
it was. But the buildup to it, I mean, why does he need to say it again?
The buildup is entirely him. He has complete editorial control of that thing.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that part of it was like a tease.
Okay,
like,
well, it makes it even worse then.
No, it was just a narcissistic...
No,
awful waste of time.
You're right, Rich. He said he's always wanted to play 5 more years, so why did he need an extra 5-minute epilogue to say it again?
I don't know, but people are going to start turning on him a little bit because it's enough already. I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he teased
it. Yeah, here's my family vacation in Qatar, which all you people watching will never do. And here's my mansion I'm sitting in with all these birdhouses. I mean,
well, what did you hear yesterday that you haven't heard before?
That's the point.
The point.
Yeah, it's like at some point, and this was done. Like Tom versus Time was over.
There was no reason for that yesterday.
No,
none.
There was a reason.
What?
And I will tell you at 7 o'clock what the reason was. And it doesn't make it any better. It doesn't make it any better. It makes it almost worse. We will be back. We will have what happened last night, including a Red Sox win that makes you say, maybe indeed this team is very special.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. As much as we fretted about the bullpen, as much as it's difficult to believe based on recent history that the Red Sox can make it to the World Series, there are days like yesterday, and thank God they beat the Braves, get them out of the whole situation. But there's days like yesterday where you say, wow, this team might actually have that special something.
Yep, another ridiculous win. And what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Enjoy a large or extra large Dunkin' coffee for a chance to win great prizes today. No purchase necessary, 13 plus. Ends October 15th or while supplies last. For a game piece and official rules, visit sippeelwin.com. And even with a bunch of regulars on the bench, the Red Sox are still able to pull off miracles.
High fly ball, deep left field. Watch this baby go.
Minor league salami.
How about that?
That's an Oscar Mayer.
Brandon Phillips.
Why?
Has put the Red Sox
Oscar Mayer ain't no boar's head.
Why is this a minor league?
Well, because he's from the minor league. I mean, listen, he's...
Goodness
Goodness gracious.
He hasn't played in the majors for a year.
Major league player that has found his way back.
He was in the minors for about a year, so I call that the Oscar Mayer salami.
Okay. Sure. It's an Oscar Mayer salami that tastes like a boar's head salami.
It's a 430-foot homer. That's pretty impressive.
Brandon, because he's been in the minor leagues for a year.
Okay.
So that's why it's a minor league.
Salami.
Okay.
But a big league hit.
Thank you. Hey. Thank you.
Oh, boy. John is fully on board now. He doesn't even like anyone. He wants to make sure that you're not dissing anything.
Well,
damn right.
Josh is very excited.
97 and 44.
He's already got his pants off and ready to go for the 100th win. We know this. Well, that is Nesson, and that clip sounds all well and good, but when you realize that this team was down 7-1 at the beginning of the eighth, and then rallied for 6 runs that inning, and then for it to be Brandon Phillips to hit the minor league salami, a guy who had been sitting there in Pawtucket since June who hit the winning shot. Well, that's just the Red Sox in 2018 in a nutshell. They pull off the improbable comeback and finish the sweep of the Braves, 9-8 the final score. It all started with a big rally in the eighth that started Boston's biggest comeback of the season.
Line shot at a left field base hit. One run in. Here comes Phillips, and here's the throw. Home, he dives, he's safe! You've got to be kidding me. The Red Sox come back from the grave today and have tied the ball game at 7.
That's called the zombie.
That's a zombie shot?
That's right. Cemetery.
I like that. The Pet Cemetery. That's even better.
John, it's too late to backtrack.
Oh, I can't. I'm sorry.
You've already dissed me enough.
Okay. Okay.
You were being a minor league a-hole.
I understand.
I understand. Hall of Fame.
And then it was Brandon Phillips' time in his first major league game since last September. Phillips reached base 3 times, scored 3 runs. I mean, what a heck of a way to make your debut this year. Here he is afterwards, obviously a very happy man.
I mean, it wasn't looking good at the beginning, but, you know, just watching these guys when I was in the minor leagues, how sometimes they're down and they come back and they score 11 runs. And I've never seen nothing like that. And we're never out of it. And we just took advantage of them taking Fulte out. And, you know, we just took off.
I forget where I read it. It might have been the Globe and it might have been Cafardo or something, but talking to Brandon Phillips about the type of year he's had sitting and waiting and the amount of times that there was false hope where he thought he was going to get called up and he didn't, the amount of times the team went to him and said, listen, you can have an out, you know, and you know, basically almost encouraging him to quit, and then this happens. That's kind of a cool story.
I'm thinking the trading for Ian Kinsler didn't go over too well for him.
Well, I mean, sure, but
I'm thinking, hey, Dustin Pedroia is out for the season. They have Brock Holt at second base. Here's a great chance for me. Eduardo Nunez at second base. Here's a great chance for me to play. And then they trade for Ian Kinsler, and he sits another 4 weeks in Pawtucket riding buses.
Well, the good news is that Brandon Phillips, you have a guy who's not afraid to kick someone. So, if you remember that incident from 2010.
I don't.
Chris Carpenter.
I do.
Yeah, I remember
that.
Yeah, he started spiking him, kicking him.
Yep. I remember.
Oh, that was that game. Okay, so that was him, the one who spiked the guy?
Yep.
Ah, well, that's nice. He's got a little bit of an attitude, like that.
No,
well,
it's not actually nice at all.
I want him on my side.
No.
So now the Red Sox have 97 wins and are this close to having the first 100-game winning season since the year John Wallach was born, 1946. They lead the Yankees by 9 games. And the magic number to clinch the AL East, if you're counting, is 14. So there you go, John.
Happy 72nd birthday.
That's right. The team gets the night off tonight. And tomorrow, the series against the Astros begins. Did you see Adrian Beltre yesterday?
Every time they show something of him coming back to the dugout, you always have to watch.
It's my favorite.
It's fantastic.
It's one of my top 10 favorite things in sports is anytime Adrian Beltre gets touched on the head, he loses his mind. So he belts one out. I think it was his 9th of the year with the Rangers yesterday. And when he gets back into the dugout, everyone's, "Way!" And then just one guy goes all in, puts his hand on his head, just starts rubbing it. And Beltre picks up a bat. And there's a moment where there's legitimate fear in the eyes of several people in the bullpen.
Was it during during the World Baseball Classic where he looked at Tavares and said, "I saw the devil"?
Oh, yeah.
That's one of those things when Beltre gets touched on the head. And you know when the Red Sox, there's someone waiting after someone hits a home run, there's a guy waiting outside the dugout to take his helmet off
before
he goes in. I think that started when Beltre was here. Because when Beltre came running in, someone was there to take the helmet off before he went into the dugout to make sure that happened to him.
The only guy that can get away with touching his head is Cabrera. And because Cabrera would like if they were at first base talking, like Cabrera would just start touching his head, and start screwing with him.
I didn't know that?
Oh yeah, yeah. Cabrera used to mess with him. I think he messed with him in All-Star games. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, and then Cabrera would just be dying laughing as Beltre went crazy.
Has he ever been asked about why he flips out when people touch his head?
Oh, I'm sure. I don't know the answer to that.
I need to know the answer to that. Because I wonder if there's some weird backstory. I know some people just don't like to be touched, obviously. But the visceral reaction, I mean, just the instant, like, you're a cat, you just got water shot at you. It's strange to see.
It's got to be rooted in something that happened in his youth.
Well, I almost don't want to know the answer, but I have to know the answer.
Right.
Like, if it's that, if it's something, like, horribly, you know, depressing, I don't want to know.
It could be anything, but it's not just out of nowhere. I mean, there's got to be something. There's got to be a reason for it. It's not chemical. I mean, there's got to be something that happened to him. It's not, you know, like, you're not born with like a gene or a hormone that gets released that does make people not want to touch your head.
I was actually looking this up. Beltre said the head rubbing began during his time in Seattle. Again, he won't reveal who was the first guy to do it. It was my fault. Beltre said, I don't remember, but somebody did it and I told him I didn't like it. And of course, that's like telling them to do it all over again.
Right.
But apparently it's nothing rooted in his childhood, or it might be.
Ooh,
but he wasn't
there.
He wasn't forthcoming.
It's buried.
He might not even know.
Right. It's buried in that file.
I mean, that's the thing. It might have been something when he was a baby or something like that. But no, nothing.
It could
nothing.
Be something from when he was eight. You don't remember. Yeah. You block things out.
That
who
would
knows?
Take years of therapy to fish out. And I don't know if he probably even wants it out there.
Well, he's the guy who's been ripped in the balls twice that still refuses to wear a cup.
Yeah.
So I'm going to guess that. He's a man who prefers getting ripped in the nuts by a ball than he does having his head touched.
I got legitimately excited when there are rumors that the Red Sox might possibly have been looking at him a couple of months ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, just to see someone touch his head. But then I'm like, who's crazy enough on this team to touch Adrian Beltre in the head? Like, there's no one that I can think of.
The only guys who used to do it, in the same story I'm looking at, Victor Martinez did it when he was in Detroit. Oh, no, when he was with the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. Two of them were together here with the Red Sox, and Victor Martinez made his life miserable. The guys who would do it are the guys that are bigger than him. Like, Cabrera is much bigger than him.
Right.
I'm thinking you can get away with that if you're Cabrera size. What is he, 6'4", 260?
Yeah, he's huge.
I mean there's only so much you can do against a guy who's that much bigger than you are.
Yeah, like, because you never saw, like, Ortiz do it or anything like that. You never saw Pedroia do it.
No.
I'm trying to think.
The best is when Cabrera does it. And just Cabrera just sits there laughing at him.
It's like, what are you going to do?
And then finally Beltre ends up, you know, starting to laugh too. But, like, he gets furious and Cabrera just starts, like doubling over laughing. Like, what are you going to do?
Exactly. That's the thing. I mean, you can get as angry as you want against a guy who looks like an NFL linebacker. But at the end of the day, there's really not much you can do.
Speaking of that, Dan, any word back on Hacksaw Johnny Gomes?
Oh.
Silence. Radio silence.
Okay. Right.
People that are doing a promotion that don't want promotion.
Okay. Well, I won't promote then where he's going to be, but I do know he's going to be in town tomorrow, and I want him in studio.
All right. So, Rich, what else are we going to talk about?
Oh, you know that real football's right around the corner when Bill Belichick starts answering questions like the ones he did yesterday. On top of that, how about a legitimately good Tom Brady story from Bill Belichick outside of the press room? In a different venue.
Wow, Bill Belichick picking up the slack.
Told an interesting Tom Brady story.
No, that's almost impossible. We will have that here, the headlines.
Toucher and Rich sounds great.
Oh, really?
Less angry. And now, gluten-free.
Well, I can't have that.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening at 7:30 and 9:30 this morning. We got tickets to see the Patriots Texans in a game they could lose. So that should be an interesting game. What's the spread on that game?
Good question.
I will look.
I know we got the Bankroll Boys
in
tomorrow
half.
Morning.
Is it really?
Yeah, the Patriots -6.5. That seems A little high, but we'll see what goes on. We'll see how Deshaun Watson looks.
Well, you know that real football is right around the corner when Bill Belichick starts to give you quotes like this.
How unique is Deshaun Watson's skill set?
I mean, he's a very talented player.
All right, thanks.
Now go home and get your shine box.
How unique is Deshaun Watson? How tough is that to answer? How unique is Deshaun Watson? He's a very talented
player.
You're
giving away game plans when you say that he's that's mobile.
That's right.
And you say that, you know, if you give any pointers out there, they're going to completely figure out what you have
say
in store.
Say it, Bill. Elusive. Yeah. Say it. Say it.
Sure. He's an elusive. You know what? He had another. Yesterday was kind of riddled with him, and it made me smile because I know that football's now officially back. But he did have a little bit of a Belichick Miyagi moment with a line that was a.
Yeah, opening day is opening day.
Yes, it is. Listen, he's not wrong.
Well, it's very zen.
It is opening day.
No. You look at opening day and you look at it as like you would any other day.
Yeah.
You have to keep your mind in complete. It's called mindfulness. You have to keep your mind just in the present. Opening day is opening day.
What's funny is that Bill Belichick, as we know, if he speaks about something he's passionate about, even something he's not, like he can be somewhat personable when he wants to be. And here's a prime example. So Ian Rappaport is, I guess, after all the years working here for the Globe, and it was the Globe he worked for, right?
Herald.
It was the Herald, okay. And then he ended up moving on to the NFL Network. You build a relationship up with Bill Belichick. Well, Ian Rappaport started this podcast and asked him to tell him some sort of story about Tom Brady and how competitive he is. And here is Bill Belichick not giving you an answer like...
opening day is opening day.
But actually telling a story about Tom Brady.
Say one story I think really sums it up for Tom is when we were playing at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, we were in the same group. Sixth hole, which is a long par five, and it goes up a big hill, and the ocean's on the right, and fairway kind of falls off to the right. And so there we are playing in a Pro-Am tournament where, as an amateur, if you hit a bad shot, you don't really worry about it. You play the pro's ball anyway. That's what you have him for. So Tom hit one, his second shot over there, and I, you know, see a starting quarterback, a Super Bowl MVP, a league MVP, literally hanging over the side of the cliff, probably 200-300 feet above the ocean, trying to hit a golf ball that's a pretty meaningless shot. But I was just thinking to myself, this is a crazy sight that I'm looking at here. And then so he hit the ball, and then his caddy kind of walked over there and gave him a hand and helped him back up this cliff that he was, you know, a few feet down on or below. And I certainly breathed a little bit easier when he came up for air on that one.
And then Belichick paid him $5 to just kick him off the cliff and say, I want the credit. And then Robert Kraft kicked Belichick off the cliff and said, no, I want the credit.
Well, that was a real barn burner of a story.
Ain't someone hanging off of a cliff?
He's really hanging off a cliff.
It was like that Stallone movie.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
right. And the teddy bear flew down to the ground he couldn't save his wife.
He was hanging by a finger on the side of a cliff.
But you know what? You know why that? The story itself, whatever. But at least Bill Belichick talked like a human being there.
Yeah.
When you ever hear him talk like a human being, ever.
If that's him, then he's still a total bore.
He's not. It doesn't tell the best stories. But it's refreshing to know that he can be someone that's not Mr.
Yeah, opening day is opening day.
I don't know. That was a pretty bad story. I'm
veering towards Fred with this one. It only is good by comparison.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's not good by any other stretch.
No, if this is the Bill Belichick that everyone says is so humorous and lovely to be around.
It's not the candy and costumes Bill Belichick.
No, that's only reserved for childlike innocence. Mm-hmm. When it comes to something like Halloween.
And not crushing souls like he does in the media room every single week. I have to hear this one more time.
How unique is Deshaun Watson's skill set? He's a very talented player.
Thank you.
Say it, Bill. Talented. The word you're looking for is quick.
he's very talented.
He's big
mm-hmm.
and elusive and has a strong arm.
Yeah.
Well, now they know it. Now O'Brien's saying, now I know how to play this guy. I know how
to do it.
The chess match is up.
Well, it usually takes a week or two, but the Steelers have set a record for setting their whole locker room on fire. This is going to be something that's going to be fun to watch. Already, everyone's stabbing each other in the back. You've got people talking trash about guys that you usually lay off when it comes to contract situation. What's the rule? It's like you don't talk about other people's wallets. You don't What's it called? There's a term for it, like pocket watching.
No, you don't get into anybody else's money.
Yeah, that's right. Pocket watching. That's what they call it. And in this case, Le'Veon Bell, who is going to continue to sit out, it looks like, according to his agent, people are pissed, including Marquise Pouncey, who was asked about it yesterday. And here's what he had to say.
I get it. You know what? You're a little mad they didn't get things done. I mean, all of us at some point would be hurt in that situation. But now that it's game day, we have a game this Sunday. Now we're all the way into the game plan as the Wednesday practice goes. And you're still not here, then it's bigger than his business. You know? The team really wants you here. At this point, we got Connor.
Yeah, and some of the worst stuff he said was when he walked away from the microphone. He said, why play hide and seek? Why let your agent say this? Just man up and tell us what you're going to do. He said, a star is born every year in the NFL. Anyone know Kareem Hunt would be an all-pro before last season? If James Conner didn't have cancer, he'd been a first-round pick. Just watch him.
That wasn't the worst of it. There were a couple. They talked to a couple other offensive linemen. Villanueva, I think, they were speaking to. And say, you know, Bell makes seven times more money than the right tackle. He makes four times as much as me, and we're the ones who got him that contract. Yeah. I mean, that's about as bad as it gets.
Well, then you had one guy, a veteran, who's unnamed in this ESPN story, said that he effed us. And then another guy, who was this? Ramon Foster, who's a guard. He goes, what do you do? He's a guy who doesn't give a damn. I guess we'll treat it as such. I just hate that it came to this. So obviously what it sounds like he's going to do is he's going to sit out unless, of course, the Steelers break down. But it sounds like they have no future for him. So he's going to come back right around week 10 because that's the latest you can show up and still be able to fulfill your contract requirement.
Yeah, to have it count as a year.
Yep.
You have to show up by then.
And he's going to just do whatever he can to not get beaten up as much so that way next year some other team gets a shiny new toy.
Think about this. Mike Tomlin.
He's never going to make the money that he was offered. Go ahead.
No, think about this. Mike Tomlin, who's now, I think, in his 12th year as a head coach. I mean, there have been people, and Mike Tomlin's been kind of like a lightning rod for a lot of things. He's been very polarizing. Is he a really good head coach? Because he's had the job for so long, and Pittsburgh continues to crank out double-digit win seasons. I think the last 4 years, he's never been below 500.
Yeah, but look at this 12
years.
Man.
Well, that's the thing. Is it the talent around him, or is he really a good head coach? And we kind of saw a peek inside when Antonio Brown held like a Facebook live chat during postgame while Tomlin was speaking. I mean, and now this.
Well, no. This has nothing to do with Tomlin.
I think.
And the team is reacting in a way that, if I'm a Steelers fan, is positive. Instead of taking the side of a player and sticking it to the bosses, they all assumed he was going to be in yesterday. He didn't show up.
But this happens.
That's why it's good. Then now they're galvanized. Now they're coming together.
It's against each other.
No, they're not against each other.
No. It's not against each other.
Not at all. It's the exact opposite of it.
It's the way that they reacted, the way they spoke outwardly to the media that puts my antenna up. Look, the Patriots have had some situations like, remember Logan Mankins, who he held out and didn't show up until week 10?
You
never heard that.
Well, good.
Locker room in New England.
Fine.
Never heard that.
If I'm a Steelers fan, I like what I heard yesterday. And the thing is that, you know, if Le'Veon Bell, I would imagine, because they were all super pissed he wasn't there yesterday, and there were some guys who said he made us look like fools, I think that they were told by him that he would be there on Wednesday, then he didn't show up, and they're saying, we want to win a Super Bowl, and if you don't care enough about the team to show up, and you don't care about, our jobs, and you don't care about our legacy, screw you.
But what's going to happen week 10 when he shows up?
I don't know.
He's heard all of his teammates saying this.
Who
that's
cares?
What you need him the most. Well, I would say if you're a Steelers fan,
what are you going to do if you're Le'Veon Bell and you carry the ball? What exactly are you going
to
do?
Not try as hard. Try to protect yourself. Try to keep yourself
you
healthy and not injured.
You can't play football like that. If you go out there and try not to get injured, you're going to get injured. And you know what? Maybe one of these other guys is going to run away with it. Le'Veon Bell is stupid, and he's doing something wrong. But if you don't feel that this team is galvanized around the fact that he's not there, then you're reading the room wrong.
When it's against a player who could be playing for them in the most important time of the season, yes, it's a problem.
No, it's not a problem. It is absolutely, they are putting team first. They are putting team above. It's not player versus management. It's, hey, listen, we want to win, and you're not here. And if he comes back in week 10, I got news for you. They'll have played 9 games without him. And so and I'll tell you this, if Le'Veon Bell comes back and doesn't want to get hurt, don't play him and let him sit there. I mean, that's all.
It depends on circumstances and how Pittsburgh's doing at the time. But I understand your overriding point, and I agree. The Steelers, this is a positive sign for the Steelers. They're like, you don't think we can do this? Screw you. We're going to go do this without you. I get that. But, A, when Bell comes back, there are going to be a lot of feelings that are going to have to be worked out.
Yeah, he's going to have to work it out
I agree with you there. But this is a problem. This is going to be a problem when Bell comes back, and he will eventually. He's going to come back. So the Steelers, the offensive line, they have to work out their problems with Bell for the betterment of the team. That's the major problem here.
I would rather have 50-some-odd guys against one.
And can Mike Tomlin control all of this once he does come back?
What is there to control? He's got everyone on the same page.
No. He has to figure out a way to get the two sides to work together when Bell comes back. Is Tomlin that good a head coach where he can do that?
I don't know. If you have 50-some-odd guys and all galvanized and all on the same page, I'm worried. I'm not so worried about
when
one guy
when you bring
walking
Bell
in.
Back, you have to play him. He's your best offensive weapon.
Fine. Then
second, but I mean, it depends on how you feel
about
Brown.
Can they win the AFC without Le'Veon Bell?
Yes. Yes.
No, they can't win without Bell. I don't think they can win the AFC without Bell.
I do.
They can probably win their division without him.
They can win the AFC. Players go down all the time.
They are going to need him.
Yeah, no,
to talk out against him right now.
Oh, my God. What do you want them to say?
Nothing, like everyone else does.
Oh, good. That's what they should do. No, they're if I'm a Steelers fan, I love what I'm hearing. It's they're putting team above contract. And they're putting team, you don't want to be a part of this, screw you. And if Le'Veon Bell comes back, he's an individual. And yes, if Le'Veon Bell is hurt, they can still win. Players, skill position players. The only thing in the NFL you really can't afford to lose is a quarterback. And this year, maybe Gronkowski, if you're the Patriots, because you put yourself in such a situation. They have people that can run the ball. And they have a myriad of receivers that are elite. And they have a quarterback that's won Super Bowls. So I'm not overly concerned about Le'Veon Bell. He certainly helps, but they can win without him. And that's why they're not paying him, is because they think they can win without him. And by the way, if you're a 27-year-old running back who's pulled this garbage, he's never going to get an offer like he got last year.
He's 26. He'll be 27 next year.
Yeah, if you're 27, again, if you're 27, which is next year, you see, next season he'll be 27.
Uh-huh.
So you get the math?
I'm so happy I'm on the other side of this watching.
Why? I said 27.
That's something I would usually say. I'm very happy I didn't say
I was
it.
Right.
No, you are right.
He's 27 next year. But if you're a 26-year-old, which in the present tense.
He's nitpicking you, which I really enjoy to do, but
it's
I didn't
not
do
the
it
right
that time.
Next year when he's negotiating for a contract, he'll be 27.
Listen, can we just all agree that the reason we should all be happy about all of this is that Nick is finally here, and he has shown up at 6:50.
Hey! All right.
Hang on. Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, usually when Fred dominates conversation, I think it's a little annoying, but I absolutely agree. I'm a Steelers fan, and I mean, this is the biggest story in the media right now. So what do you think they're going to have players? And, of course, they're going to have opinions on it. So I completely agree with Fred. I'm happy as a clam to hear.
That Le'Veon Bell's not playing?
Yeah, well, no, that the team's upset about it. You know,
can they win the AFC championship without him?
Yes.
I disagree with you. I don't think they can.
Well, a lot of players are going to get hurt this year. A lot of important players.
Sure they are. But I think this team relies on his running and pass catching ability. They have Schuster and they have Brown, two very good, one great wideout, one very good wideout, and a Super Bowl winning quarterback. But I think Le'Veon Bell makes a difference. A big one.
Ron, go ahead.
Fred, that's the most mind-numbingly stupid take you've ever had on air, that the Steelers can win the AFC without Le'Veon Bell. Who do they have? They have a 350-pound quarterback who looks like he's ready to retire and just drink Budweiser for the rest of his life. Antonio Brown's a stud, but other than that, Juju Smith-Schuster's unproven, and their defense is mediocre at best. There's no way.
You're telling me they couldn't win the AFC with Bell. Because you're saying it's a defensive problem.
Absolutely not. Le'Veon Bell's a game changer. If you have him on the field, anything's possible. When you have him and Antonio Brown, of course you have a recipe for something to happen. But even when they had them both last year, they couldn't get past the pass.
And the Pats are not as good this year, number one. And number two, that you play teams lose stars all the time. I mean, the Patriots are going to lose people this year. Everyone's going to lose people. And all I'm
right. And when the Patriots lose someone this year, the conversation is going to be, oh, they can't get through the AFC.
Which has happened before, which is when they lost Edelman, they couldn't do anything. When they lost Gronkowski, they couldn't do anything.
Fred, let me ask you this. If they lose Edelman or Gronkowski this year, you think they can win the AFC?
Yes.
Oh, come on. You think the Patriots will win the AFC without Gronk this year with the limited
offense?
They won a Super Bowl without Gronkowski.
Yeah, but Fred, back then they had a stud defense. You got to look at the full team. There's no defense this year. You need the offensive weapons this year. That's what you have to rely on. Well, have to rely on the shootout.
I think the secondary is just fine. I think that with Hightower back, it helps the linebackers, although that's a weak spot. And now they have a bunch of mediocre to pretty good defensive linemen to help out. I don't think the defense, the linebacking core worries me, but I don't think the defense is awful.
Listen, maybe you're right that it's going to galvanize them for the next 10 weeks, but I'm telling you, once he comes back, he is going to be BS, and I don't think he's going to give the effort that
need
to end up winning. Okay,
so they'll have been playing without him, so what's the difference?
Now, once Bell comes back, he has to play for his next contract. That's the other part of it.
Yes.
He has to play, whether it be with Pittsburgh or, as he keeps saying, some other team. No other team, if he comes back and mails it in, no other team's going to give him the money he wants.
He has every incentive.
I disagree with that. I think that they might be at least he's conserving himself.
Bell realizes, everybody else, that 28 or 29 is the expiration date for all good NFL running backs that have handled the football as much as he
is. Which is why he should have taken the money.
And if he comes back and mails it in, it's going to cost him dollars next year.
And when he's 27 next year and trying to do a deal, it's going to be very difficult for him. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.